Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The first Day of Silence was held in the mid-90s as a college activity to show support for homosexual rights. It has since morphed into something much more sinister in our nation's middle schools and high schools. It has become a major part of the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network's assault on our nation's school children. The annual, quote-unquote, student-led event is described on the website as one that, quote, brings attention to anti-LGBT name-calling, bullying, and harassment, unquote, in the nation's public schools. But more often, it is GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and its Gay Straight Alliance clubs within the schools who are bullying school administrators to allow participation in the Day of Action. This is what GLSEN has a whole list of Days of Action, and the Day of Silence is one of those. This annual event is happening in thousands of schools around the U.S., including here in Pennsylvania. GLSEN no longer publicizes the list of participants, so the only way parents can know about it is if they call their local school district. And if you find out your school is participating, then what? But we have to also realize it's not just a day of silence anymore. Our nation's children are under ever-increasing attack on every aspect of the school day, no longer just quote-unquote special days like the Day of Silence. My guest today is Laurie Higgins, who's a cultural, and I can never say that word. Who are you, Laurie?
I'm a cultural analyst.
I always have trouble with that word. Let's see, analyst, this is whatever. Yes, that's who you are, with the Illinois Family Institute. And thanks, Laurie, for being with us and being able to tell us who you are.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. What is the Illinois Family Institute? What do you guys do?
Well, we're a conservative pro-family organization, so we do have lobbyists in Springfield who work toward family-friendly legislation, and I write on cultural issues, particularly the issue of homosexuality, and particularly how it impacts public schools.
Right, and that's a threat that very few parents really even understand or realize. Now, recently you wrote an article which included an entire list of efforts to normalize homosexuality in our nation's schools. I just wanted to talk about a little bit about this list that you had in that article. The first thing you mentioned was changing the game.
Well, this was new even to me, and this is another effort on the part of GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And this is how it's described. The Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network's new sports project is an education and advocacy initiative focused on addressing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues in kindergarten through high school, school-based athletic and physical education programs. So they're targeting ever younger ages, and this is not just about bullying. Every decent person opposes bullying.
Right.
All of these efforts are, by GLSEN and other organizations, are efforts that exploit legitimate anti-bullying sentiment for the purposes of their end goal, which is to eradicate conservative moral beliefs about the morality of homosexuality and to make it socially and legally impossible to express those beliefs. It's their end game, and they're using anti-bullying efforts to achieve that.
Absolutely. And when I think of some school administrators who don't want to allow the Day of Silence to take place, the homosexual activists, GLSEN and the students of the GSA, they resort to bullying themselves and, you know, threaten lawsuits if they don't allow their advocacy day. And to me, it's appalling.
Well, it is appalling, and one of the frustrations that many of us who do this work around the country have is that people are not looking at the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just one day. It's one day on top of Ally Week,
right,
which is sponsored by GLSEN, on top of National Coming Out Day, which is sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, Spirit Day, which is sponsored by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, in addition to any schools that use comprehensive sex ed. Typical comprehensive sex ed programs, curricula, actually address homosexuality and gender confusion, of course, in affirming tones and content. The other thing that people don't realize is the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a hugely problematic organization, has an educational arm called Teaching Tolerance. And Teaching Tolerance provides a free online newsletter that thousands of teachers in public schools subscribe to. I received a recent email that had a new activity, and it linked to another activity, mm-hmm. which apparently has been existing for a while. These are recommended activities for teachers to use in their classroom. And this one is called Do Something, Transforming Critiques of Gender Stereotypes into Activism. This is for what they identify as preschool through grade 5, and this series of lessons on
gender
confusion.
Back up. You said preschool?
That's what they identified
as.
Oh, my
goodness.
Pre-K through grade 5. And this series of lessons, which is on gender confusion, is intended for those young ages, and Teaching Tolerance says that it will, quote, these kids will benefit from participating in activism because it helps them understand the socially constructed nature of gender and overcome the damage done by internalized gender stereotypes. So first, this activity would teach kids that the liberal assumptions about gender confusion or homosexuality mm-hmm. are in fact fact and true, and it will encourage them to be activists. And I don't know how a pre-kindergartner or a first grader is an activist, but it is so far from tolerance. It's moved so far from tolerance and into activism. Government employees have no right to affirm particular beliefs about the nature and morality of homosexuality and gender confusion as facts in public schools.
Absolutely. And it's our kids who are the guinea pigs. Our kids are being used as guinea pigs in this great social experiment. And you're talking about pre-K. The only way I can think they could be activists would be within their own families to tell their parents that society determines whether you're male or female. That's basically going to be their message from what...
I mean, I don't know who their audience would be, but of course what you're saying is the likelihood is that they're going to go home and report to
mm-hmm.
their family.
Right.
But it's just an outrage that any organization would think that they have the right to come in and use public schools that are mm-hmm. funded by taxpayers to affirm ideas that are moral beliefs, that are ontological beliefs, meaning the nature of something, what gender confusion is. They use, of course, euphemisms, gender identity and gender expression, which is, for instance, cross-dressing. But these are not facts, and they're subjective, and they're in some of the beliefs they have to do with volitional behavior, so these are moral questions, mm-hmm. and these shouldn't take place. But whenever we look at societal change, and we ignore little events that seem insignificant, trivial. I don't want to engage in this debate. Someone's going to view me as, you know, a hater. We'll let this event slide.
Mm-hmm.
We'll let this pro-homosexual play go. We'll ignore the speaker who came. We'll ignore the film. We'll ignore this one day of silence. People will say, well, not many students participate. The issue is not how many students are participating. Of course, it's worse if there's hundreds of kids participating. But no one should be allowed to come into a classroom during instructional time and participate in a political protest during instructional time. Now, schools are limited. If they allow other clubs to put up posters or distribute flyers or wear bracelets or T-shirts in support of their day, they have to allow, by law, GSAs, Gay Straight Alliances, to be treated the same.
Yes.
It's Gay Straight Alliances that usually mm-hmm. are technically sponsoring the event in the school.
Right, and getting all their materials and all their how-tos from the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network.
That's right. Yeah. They say, you know,
and register your school if you're going to be participating. I mean, there's a secret list there somewhere that GLSEN has. They know which schools are claiming to participate.
That's
right. That's no longer public knowledge, as you well know. And it really, again, concerns me that, this whole concept concerns me, but it used to just be, as you're saying, it used to just be one day or one situation, you know, one lesson or something. But now they've used the Equal Access Act, which was passed back in, I'm not sure when it was passed, 80s or so. Okay. And that was passed specifically to allow Child Evangelism Fellowship Bible classes into schools.
Right.
And homosexuals have taken that act and interpreted it to mean that they are allowed to bring their GSAs in and schools cannot say anything about it. But you look at the last section of that Equal Access Act, and it says the schools still have the right to maintain order and discipline within the school district. And if there's a club that is making a situation where it's a discipline problem or there's a lack of order, then they have a right to deny that club to exist on their campus. But that section is completely ignored, and school districts don't. I've never seen a school, well, not here in Pennsylvania, can I think of a school district that actually read the last part of that. They're listening to what the homosexual students or ACLU is telling them, you know, that you have to allow this club because you allow other clubs.
Well, it's very difficult to prove that it's disruptive. And
but if you have students who are walking around, if you have guys walking around in dresses, or you have students walking around with duct tape on their mouths for an entire school day, I would classify that as disruptive. A judge may not if it came to a lawsuit, but still.
That's right. And the duct tape, actually, I was just reading an article this morning. It was written by, and I don't know if this person was an attorney, but it was written by someone who is sympathetic to the Day of Silence. There, I was talking about schools have difficulty keeping GSAs out because claiming that the presence of the GSA alone is disruptive.
Right, true.
But the ACLU has said students have no right, legal right, to refuse to speak in class if they're called on to answer a question or participate in some kind of verbal activity. Very few teachers any longer rely on direct instruction, that's lecturing. Most classes are interactive, and so students do not have a legal right to refuse to speak. Teachers may accommodate that, but they don't have to. And actually, I just received an email from a teacher in a high school in this area whose administration sent out an email and said, classes will be conducted as usual. Students are expected to answer questions or participate in class. So administrators can legally do this. They can't stop kids from refusing to speak during passing periods or free periods. I don't have any objection. Silence participants want to refuse to speak when during passing periods or
during
their
lunchtime
period.
Yeah.
That just makes the school all that much quieter.
And that would be much more difficult for them to remain silent during times when they're with their friends and stuff.
That's right.
I mean, in class, they don't want to talk anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is what Day of Silence participants like most about the day, is being able to go into class and refuse to speak in class. That's what they most like about the day, and that's how you can neuter their enthusiasm about the day, is to say, we will conduct this class like any other class on any other day, and I'm actually asking administrators to send messages, send an email to their faculty saying the day will be conducted in class as a usual day. We don't accommodate political protests. Imagine if every group that has a cause, whether it's opposition to tuna fishing because of its impact on dolphins, or, you know, good causes. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a good cause.
Well,
but causes that have humanitarian implications, like
some kind of political,
you know, things
aspect
that go on in Darfur or in Sudan. Imagine if all of those kids planned a day of silence in support of that. How disruptive that would be to the classroom. And this is a political action. It is a protest, and we shouldn't be allowing it in the classroom. So administrators, if you are a conservative administrator or even not a conservative administrator, but you don't like the disruption and the dissension this day brings to the classroom, you can send an email to your teachers saying, conduct class in the normal ways. Conservative teachers, you can plan activities that require verbal participation. If a student refuses to speak, you can follow normal disciplinary procedures, and parents should be sent an email about the school's expectation on that day, because sometimes parents don't know that this is taking place in their schools.
Yeah.
Actually, often they don't, because I've talked to parents, and they'll turn to their child while we're on the phone and say, is there a day of silence at your school? And the kids will be a junior or senior in high school and say, oh yeah, every year.
Every year.
Parents have no idea.
Yeah.
So school administrations should be sending emails to parents telling them that this day is taking place, telling them who promotes it, GLSEN, and telling them that although we respect all humans, we are not engaging in political protest in our classrooms, so that parents know it's there and they can communicate with their child that they are not to refuse to speak during class.
Okay. Now you have a situation, as you're saying, as we both know, parents don't know this is taking place by and large.
Right.
And it's great if you have an administrator who says, who sends out that email to faculty and say, you know, the Day of Silence is coming up on Friday, April 20th, but school will be conducted as usual. You will conduct your class as usual. And that's what we expect of you as administrators. Now, what if you have an administrator, if a parent calls their school, finds out that the day of silence is being observed, and find out that that administrator, that superintendent or principal, is going to allow students, and in some schools, teachers,
right,
to remain silent? Then what can parents do when they find that's taking place in their child's school?
Well, there's a national coalition of pro-family groups. We have people, joint organizations joining from Massachusetts out to California have joined together, and our American Family Association, Liberty Council, Concerned Women for America, urging parents, call your school, ask if they will be allowing students and or teachers to refuse to speak in class. If they are evasive or they actually say yes, it's up to the teacher, they can allow a student, they can accommodate students, refusal to speak. We're asking parents, keep your child home that day and send an email to the school explaining, and the school board, explaining why you are keeping them home. It is because they are allowing the classroom to be exploited for a political action. The reason this has a potential to be effective is that every student absence costs school districts money, anywhere from $40 to $80 a day, typically. And so if there's a lot of students called out, it's a financial hit. This is civil disobedience. We prefer it not to happen. As soon as schools stop accommodating political action, parents won't have to do this. But if we do nothing, this effort, this political protest, increases in the numbers of schools, and it also increases in the ages of the students. It is now, it's in thousands of high schools and increasing numbers of middle schools. Mm-hmm. I haven't checked recently to see what GLSEN is claiming about numbers of middle schools, but it is coming into middle schools, and they would love for it to be in elementary schools.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to do something. If you ignore this, GLSEN and other homosexual activist groups, they become more brazen in terms of getting these kinds of activities into schools. And remember, it's these kinds of direct activities. There are also comprehensive sex ed and all of the anti-bullying efforts that are coming down the pike. In Illinois, we passed a law about anti-bullying that specifically mentions homosexuality and, well, they call it gender identity. Mm-hmm. Then our homosexual state superintendent of schools created a task force that included a number of homosexuals and homosexual activist organizations, and they're part of the task force that was charged with coming up with recommendations on mm-hmm. how to implement the law. And so, and this is happening in every state, and more than that, in California they passed a law, SB 48, that now requires social studies classes to include favorable depictions of homosexuals and transgenders in their social studies classes, and censors any resources or activities or materials that would portray them in a negative light. So in other words, have to promote it, and they are by law required to censor any dissenting views.
And just say all good things. What other group has that kind of protection when it comes to talking about history, about their role in history? What other group where it's mandated that you can only say good things?
Well, you have to say, what other group that is constituted, that is defined by
their activity,
attractions and sexual behaviors? Mm-hmm. Because even CECUS, which is the Sexuality Information and Education Council of the United States, a wildly liberal organization, they have defined sexual orientation, which is a term I object to, and I recommend that no conservative ever use it, but they define sexual orientation as attractions, fantasies, and sexual behavior. That's how that condition is defined or constituted. And now we're saying we have to depict this condition positively. Listen, if someone who identifies as homosexual or transgender has made some important contribution that is universally recognized mm-hmm. as an important contribution to society, not a political contribution
right.
that only homosexuals would like, but has discovered some scientific theory, of course kids should know about it.
Right.
But their sexual orientation is irrelevant.
That's just what I was going to say. I mean, that's exactly right. Until recent years, it was totally irrelevant. If someone made a contribution to society, then good. We didn't ask whether they identified as homosexual. I mean, that was, like you're saying, irrelevant. But now it's become central to everything because I think it was California, well, it was land of fruits and nuts. Wasn't it California where they're trying to also get something like affirmative action, get a certain number of homosexual judges? or judges are supposed to declare the sexuality or something. It's crazy.
Well, and the question people should ask is, why are they insisting that not just the contribution of homosexuals be identified to kids, but their homosexuality or their cross-dressing impulses?
Yeah.
The reason is, it's sort of an innocence by association. If we can associate homosexuality or gender confusion with creativity or intelligence or compassion or anything good, pretty soon the irrational process will take place by which students will come to identify homosexuality with something positive, and therefore homosexuality will be viewed as positive. Mm-hmm. The contributions of someone have nothing to do, or their compassion or their intelligence, have nothing to do with a moral assessment of volitional homosexual act. Those two are completely distinct.
Yeah.
And we would never do it with other things. We would never say, oh, gee, polyamory, which is the romantic attraction to and sexual involvement with multiple people at the same time, gee, let's require that we teach about polyamory positively in public schools.
Yeah.
And so we have to work against it. The Day of Silence, we're calling it a walkout. It's really keep your children home that day. This is the only organized opposition to any of these homosexual activist activities, whether it comes through comprehensive sex ed, anti-bullying. This is the only one there is, and it's so easy. It doesn't requires virtually no courage. Some activities that
picketing outside the school or speaking in front of a school board.
It doesn't require any courage on the part of students.
Just print, and there is a sample letter on the Day of Silence walkout. You want to give that website?
Yes. You can either go to illinoisfamily.org, which is Illinois Family is all spelled out, and there's a big icon you can click on called Day of Silence Walkout. On there, we have the reasons for the day, instructions for parents, and we have a sample letter that you can, very short, that you can send your child's teachers, the administration, and the school board, or whomever you want, explaining your reasons. And your reasons are not because you object to the thoughts of these Day of Silence participants, or their beliefs. It's because you object to the school allowing political protest in the classroom.
Within a taxpayer-funded school day.
That's right.
I mean, our tax dollars pay for that school day, every aspect of that school day, and they're using it to not teach. And their job of a school is to teach academics, reading, writing, arithmetic, but they're becoming institutions of social engineering.
Increasingly,
we see, especially when it comes to the homosexual issue. As I'm looking down through this list, and this article is on the website too, right? The one you just wrote about the different areas called
It's called Everyone Can Do Something.
Right, everyone should do something about Friday's Day of Silence. But in that, you list the different days and activities that, you know, we just talked about earlier in the program that's listed with more detail and such. And I encourage parents to go to illinoisfamily.org and click on, I think it's on the right where that button is, to the link to the Day of Silence walkout website. And with the sample letter, the reasons for the walkout, as you're saying, we've let so much stuff happen thinking, well, it's just going to be this year or just going to be this one time. But homosexual activists have taken advantage of that one time, or they've viewed that as a green light that, like, parents aren't concerned, so we can sneak in something else because parents are afraid to speak up or they don't know what's happening. Administrators are afraid to speak up or they're complicit in the whole thing and they're, you know, marching hand in hand with the homosexual activists. And unfortunately, in some schools, that's exactly what's happening.
Well, I mean, they've done a lot of tricky things in school. Until 2008, I worked in a public school. And what public schools have said is, if kids hear about conservative moral beliefs, they feel unsafe. So they captured and manipulated and twisted the meaning of safety. So then they can say, well, if exposure to those ideas make them feel unsafe and school has to be a safe place, then we can't have them exposed to any of those ideas. Therefore, and of course, it doesn't mean they're unsafe to read, you know, about Princeton Law Professor Robert George, what he argues about marriage, for instance. What
but they consider that unsafe.
Uncomfortable.
Well, they consider that unsafe, though.
They've manipulated the language of safety in order to censor absolutely any documents that express conservative moral beliefs about same-sex adoption, about what is homosexuality actually like race, in what way is it like race, does disapproval of behavior really constitute hatred of persons, do we apply that consistently, a whole host of ideas.
Yeah.
And here is what parents should also do. Ask your children, particularly if they're seniors, but ask your children, how many times have you heard or read or been exposed to any resources or activities in the high school that espouse liberal assumptions about homosexuality? It could be a speaker. It could be an assembly in which there was a play or skits performed. It could be a film, a newspaper article, and a play that you've read, whether they've done Laramie Project or Rent. And then ask them, how often in these four years of high school have you read even an essay by a conservative scholar on homosexuality? You will find they censor absolutely any resources from even really eloquent, compassionate, conservative scholars. Can't foster critical thinking in an environment that censors.
Yeah, that
so
just
schools
gives,
can either take the issue out completely or spend equal time studying the resources of conservative and liberal scholars.
Right. Again, taking away from academics. No wonder our schools are doing so poorly in testing and such. Give us the website again so folks can go check that out.
Well, there is dayofsilencewalkout.net, and it might be doswalkout.net.
Yeah, right, it is. Yeah, doswalkout,
doswalkout.net, which you can go to directly, or you can go to illinoisfamily.org and click on the button for dayofsilencewalkout.net. Parents are concerned about public schools. I've done a lot of writing about the influence of homosexual activism in public schools, and there's articles on the website about that, too.
Fantastic. Yeah, you have a lot of articles there, and I encourage parents to do that, because it's not just Chicago, it's not just California, it's not just New England or New York. It's across the country, even in rural areas. It's just there.
That's a really important point. In rural areas, in conservative communities around the country, schools are being impacted because teachers are coming out of schools and colleges of education that are notoriously liberal and are teaching these students to be, quote, agents of change.
Agents of change.
End quote.
Absolutely.
And so they're coming in and they are so presumptuous about what their role is in the lives of other people's children that they think they have the right to try to shape their political and moral views in addition to their academic subject matter.
Which is not good. So I encourage folks to go to doswalkout.net or Illinois Family Institute,
Illinoisfamily.org
for the Illinois Family Institute to check in the Laurie's articles. Appreciate, Laurie, all the effort that you put into writing those articles, the research that you do, helping parents to understand just what's taking place in the public school system because so few know what's happening, but your articles are helping to expose it, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Diane.
Well, take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.